Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
And shout out to Dusty Baker, who is trying desperately to stay safe because he's in a high-risk category. That man had on face covering and gloves, and he let out a 12-letter word.
Does he have the toothpick still?
That, you know what, Herbie? You read my bleeping mind. I was sitting there thinking, for a guy that has been doing the toothpick thing for, what, 5 decades? Is there a toothpick underneath his face cover? I didn't get a close enough look to see, but it was something that I kept wondering. I was just sitting there going, huh. Got an oral fixation, has always had the toothpick thing. He's got to have it underneath the mask, but it also probably pokes a hole in the mask, so maybe you're not doing it.
Dusty got proficient with that thing. I tried to do it after he became the Cubs manager, almost damn near choked myself with
that
thing.
Yeah, you'll end up dying if you try, because Dusty can flip the thing around, like side to side, like all of that stuff.
Make me a bicycle clown!
It was great to hear from people who were trying to quit smoking. They were telling us their thoughts, trying to help us out with the whole toothpick thing. Glad that you are here. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a lot that's going on today's show. We got a lot of great guests. It's crazy because now we're into this point where we're going to see everything mixed up. Again, there's going to be sports all over the place. There's, at least for now, there's going to be baseball, and then basketball comes back tonight, and then hockey tomorrow. So you have all three of those things in place. Our buddy Bruce Miles, we haven't had Bruce on the show in a while, but he's going to be on the show. We're going to talk to him about a novel he's written. I actually had an idea for a novel last week. I started writing notes and everything. I want to talk with Bruce about this process. Sean Hyken, who's a friend of the show, covers the NBA. He's going to preview the NBA season and, I guess, postseason? I guess. We'll figure it out when we talk to him. Deion Thomas is going to join us, too, at 1:30. We'll talk about Lou Henson. So there's a lot that's going on today's show. We are also going to talk a ton of baseball to get started today. I plan on talking about this maybe a little bit later, and maybe it'll end up being Aloho Daily. But I was watching the Blackhawks game last night. Like, I just flipped it on. I caught the tail end of it, tail end of the third period. And I think that I'm now at the point I've been watching whether it was Bundesliga, British Premier League, watching MLS, watching baseball return. I wasn't fazed at all. At all. By no fans at the hockey game. Sure, when the goals were scored, it felt a little weird. I don't know if that just means I've adjusted or what, but I was watching that and just like, oh, this is just like normal stuff. It's just normal stuff. Just watching hockey. So I'll probably expound on that a little bit more on Aloho Daily today. But it was a weird feeling when I realized that it wasn't weird. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you've had that feeling too, and you're more than welcome to hit me up via the text line and let me know. 312-644-6767 in the text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Speaking of Hyundai, we are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, like Rosen Hyundai, for example. All right, let's talk some baseball. We saw some great pitching last night. If you were watching either of the Chicago games, you saw great pitching. Not necessarily by both Chicago teams, but you saw some of it. I want to start with Sonny Gray. Man, was he good last night against the Cubs. You want to have an idea of what fastball command is. It was the performance last night by Sonny Gray. That was fastball command. This is a guy that was getting people out with 94-mile-per-hour fastballs. But it had late movement on it. It had late break on it. And he knew where it was going. He was hitting the mitt. That was fun to watch. Hendricks dueled with them for a little bit of that game, and then things just kind of went haywire. And Rossi makes the move. He goes to the bullpen. And the bullpen is a problem, and we need to talk about the Cubs bullpen. We're going to do that in depth in just a second. I am amazed at the grand slam that Nicholas Castellanos hit. And the reason why is that he should not have been able to drive that ball that direction with that much power. He's a really great hitter, and I'm glad that he found a place where he wanted to be. I wish he could have figured out a way to stay on the north side, or honestly would have come to the south side, because I would have loved to have Castellanos playing right field for the White Sox, considering the way that he can hit the ball. Herbie, can we take a listen to that grand slam? Because I watched it back again twice this morning, and I'm like, how, Sway?
Infield shifting against Castellanos, the pitch hit in the air to left field. This is deep. Schwarber looks up, and this is gone. A grand slam for Nicholas Castellanos. And the Reds have blown the game open, 8-0 Cincinnati here in the fifth.
Yeah, that's like a neck-high fastball that he pulled. If he pushes that ball to right field, like I understand that. Like I even understand the physics of that to a certain degree. The fact that he was able to whip the bat head around to take that ball to left, goodness gracious. I also think that we might have the ball from 2019 out there available for people. Let's take a listen to David Ross. Last night, he was talking about the bullpen overall, but why he chose to go to great name, Rex Brothers.
The attack was a little bit different than it worked out, without giving anything away. And, he made us pay for it.
Ross, when the results for the bullpen, as far as the numbers go, aren't pretty, what's your process as far as looking for, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for somebody to get outs, throw strikes. I think that's, we're way too many walks from down there. We've got some guys have got to kind of step up, and that's some of the stuff that we find now here early on is who's a guy that we can bring in the big situation and pitch. We can match them up as much as we want, but guys still have to come in and throw strikes. I think that's from a catcher standpoint, it's a frustrating to keep giving free passes, and you're gonna get into trouble at some point. So we gotta get better.
Rossi, just in the early going, what has been your thoughts on that three-batter minimum rule? We haven't seen it come into play too much the way these games have been, but just generally speaking, as you've mixed and matched here with a lot of guys.
Yeah, I think it's trying to find patterns in the lineup with the construction from the other team and who matches up well out of our bullpen. You know, we try to put these guys in the right situation to succeed, but you know, with that being said, we also have to find guys that just to bring in and can compete, you know, and compete and get the hitters engaged. So I've got to look at that a little bit on myself and make sure I'm pulling the right triggers.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a lot that he can do. That's the issue here. I don't know if you look at the personnel inside that bullpen, if there's a lot that David Ross can do from a choice standpoint. What he's got to do is hope that the guys that he does go to, that they're going to be able to get people out. Dylan Maples he's got incredible stuff. We've all seen it, right? We've all seen that he's got Nintendo stuff. He just doesn't know where it's going. He walked four people last night. Rex Brothers walked two people last night. So you have six walks from your bullpen, and you're asking them to cover 5 2/3. That's too many. And then there's the hit. Now the Reds were there. They were just, their bats were working last night. But I also think that that's a product of what you see from the Cubs bullpen. I think that it's the one thing that keeps them. If there is something that can keep them from winning, that will be the thing. And I'm not sure that there are any easy solutions either. It's so funny. I was out watering the roses today and the hydrangeas. I find it very peaceful in my backyard. And I was listening to Mully and Haw, and they had Gordon Whittemeyer on. If you don't know, Gordon is now covering the Cubs for NBC Sports Chicago. He's doing all sorts of cool stuff over there. And I was listening to Gordon explain what the issues in the Cubs bullpen are. Take a listen to what he said. It might disturb you.
They keep trying to score a ton of runs because really there's, you know, I'm being glib, but this was the biggest question mark coming in. We talked about it more than once. And here's why. You know, we were seeing why. These guys, Kyle Ryan's look good. That's good, because we said some of these guys that had that year last year and hadn't, you know, and then we hadn't seen a lot of prior to that, still had to back it up. Well, so far Kyle Ryan looks good. Jeremy Jeffress looked, I mean, he got away with some stuff, but he came into the hottest of hot spots and got out of it. Craig Kimbrell looks like a mess, and that's the guy that you needed as much as anybody out there. So this is going to be, look, in a short season like this, especially, there are no solutions within that group other than this guy gets hot, this guy gets hot, and you're gonna reduce your roster by a couple in a week or so, and then by two more another couple weeks after that, and so you know some of these guys will be weeded out by that process, and then you got who you got, and you know, and you'll shuttle other guys in and out, but this is it. I think the one possible solution that might wind up making a difference that we notice will be if Jose Quintana is able to return to the rotation in good shape, and the early reports from his first bullpen session after that thumb injury are good, then whoever gets bumped, and let's just say it's the last man in, and which would be Alec Mills, he was coming out of March, he was going to be this key swing man that was going to give you innings out of the bullpen. And he looked pretty good the other night. If he can be that guy, then that could stabilize things some, but you still got the back end that you have to sort out. They haven't really gotten into that situation, because even when Kimbrell came in the other night, it was a save situation, yes, but it was a 3-run lead. I mean, he created the mess, right? It shouldn't have been a problem, but you know, you're going to get 1- and 2-run leads in the eighth inning that have to be held and then closed out, and those are probably going to decide your season.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting way to look at the Quintana thing, of him coming back and him then you could do some stuff with the bullpen and you could put Alec Mills down there. But the other guys have got to get people out. The walk rate for this bullpen right now is 21.1%. If guys are going to get hit, they're going to get hit. But once you load the bases and then they get hit, you end up in a situation like you had last night. And the thing is what I'll give the Cubs a lot of credit for, which made it kind of enjoyable to watch that game after the sixth inning, is they fought back offensively. Offensively, they tried to push themselves, and you score seven runs in a game after Sonny Gray strikes out 11 batters. And it was like he was dominant in that game. It gives you some hope that they might be able to hit their way into this thing, but you don't want to rely on that if you're a Cub or you're a Cub fan. That's what I took from last night's 12-7 loss to Cincinnati. Darvish will go tonight. I talked a little bit about this on Twitter. If you don't follow me on Twitter or Instagram, it's the same tag, at Lawrence W. Holmes. My first name is spelled L-A-U-R-E-N-C-E, by the way. I really like watching Yu Darvish pitch. And I know, like Dylan Maples, it's something that can drive you crazy. Because we all see it. We all see how good Darvish is. We see all the stuff that he has in his arsenal. The 11 pitches, now he's got this supreme. For me, it all comes down to this. Can he command his fastball? Because if he can, then it sets up everything else that he wants to do. But if he doesn't have command of that fastball, it makes it difficult for him to win and to put you in a winning situation. He also works slowly, and him working slowly can be frustrating to watch as well. I just know that when I'm watching him, I'm watching a guy that has everything at his disposal from a pitch arsenal standpoint. It's a matter of which pitches that day are going to work for him, and will he be consistent with throwing those? Instead of, I don't want to say wasting pitches because that's kind of pejorative, but using pitches that he doesn't have command of to try and find it, you know, to work through an outing where maybe he uses 10 pitches to figure out, well, okay, I've got good command of my fastball. Well, let me see if I've got good command of this curve. And if he doesn't, you're just like, he could win with fastball, changeup, slider. Like, he's that good. And Sonny Gray was showing you yesterday, it doesn't take much. All it takes is knowing that you can pinpoint your fastball, and if you can start there, you can get a lot of people out. That being said, I'm looking forward to seeing how Darvish has adjusted from what happened on Saturday. And quite honestly, the hair is fantastic. Right now, I got him. He's in the top five as far as hair goes in Major League Baseball. This is an open space for me to now talk about Fernando Tatis Jr., but I'm not going to. Why? Because the White Sox won yesterday. And I'm going to talk about the White Sox coming up next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
2-1. Yasmani, a drive to right field on a line. Santana makes the catch off the double clutch. Tim scores, and the Sox have the first run of the ball game with one out in the ninth.
The White Sox scored all four of their runs in the ninth inning last night. That highlight courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. Jason Benetti on the call. They won the game, and it's so interesting. I was out driving because I found that I like to get a couple innings in on the radio side, whether it's Cubs or White Sox. I just like to hear what those broadcasts sound like, and you know how much I love DJ. So I was listening to the game last night, and DJ was talking about Grandal, and he said that he's just kind of he's not letting the ball get deeper into the plate. That he's kind of reaching instead of letting the ball come to him. And I thought it was a really good piece of analysis by DJ. And then you saw him come through with a well-struck ball that was a sacrifice fly that ended up giving the White Sox the lead. This game felt like we were all watching it feeling the same way, right? That this was one of those games where you do get the good start from Lucas Giolito. You do get fantastic bullpen work, and you somehow find a way to lose. They didn't. They found a way to win. And what's crazy is, man, you want to talk about another dominant performance? Plesac was unreal last night. 8 innings, 3 hits, no earned, 11 strikeouts. Another guy that looked like he was in full space command of what was going on in the mound. Lucas was really good and worked into a couple of jams and worked his way out of them. Got some double play balls when he needed them. 6 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks for Lucas Giolito. That's a great sign. You're asking that guy to step into the role of being the guy that you can depend on for a good outing after your team struggles. And he came through last night. That was key. Let me spend a couple minutes talking about the White Sox bullpen. I'll let Herbie talk about Colome. I'm going to take the good parts of the bullpen yesterday. Evan Marshall is going to pitch like every game. And he should if he can keep getting people out the way that he was getting them out. Aaron Bummer yesterday was filthy. Only an inning pitch, 2 strikeouts, making guys look silly. Throwing heat, hitting his spots, making batters uncomfortable. That was fun. So you have that go on. You get the sacrifice fly. You get Aloy with a sacrifice fly in the game. So that's good news. And maybe the best news outside of Lucas being good last night was the kid keeps doing fun stuff. Luis Robert is so fun to watch, and he came through huge last night in the ninth.
2-0. Robert up the middle into center field. That's a base hit. Abreu scores. Dolan's on his way home. It is 4-0 Sox. Luis Robert straight up the middle. He got a bash in the head from Santana, and he'll take the two runs. Thank you.
So Robert's hitting 348 on the season. He did strike out twice, and the strikeouts are going to be a part of his career for a while until he gets a real good sense of the league. 9 strikeouts for him so far in 23 at-bats. But he hits the ball. He puts the ball in play. He's got 8 hits so far this season. He's just fun. And I think that he's the type of fun that is going to last. There are going to be valleys. You're going to see people try to get him out with sliders and changeups. And there are going to be some valleys for him. But right now, when you're watching the first 6 games of White Sox baseball, you're watching the guy that you're most confident is going to come through in a clutch situation. How weird is that? With the type of pop that this lineup has in it. Big win for the White Sox before they head to Kansas City for a weekend series. Lucas Giolito talked about the game last night and about where things stand with him.
It was a must-win game for us as a team. However you want to put it, we weren't going to come out tonight and put pressure on ourselves and look at our record at the start of the year. But the way I saw it was our first round of starting pitching did not go well. And so it was time for us to make the adjustments we needed and go out there and have a good one. So I was happy to be able to do that, put up zeros to get our offense back in the dugout. We ended up getting the bats going later. Later is better than never. So we're able to come out with a much needed win there.
Merrick, go ahead.
Hey, Lucas, 4th inning, 1st and 3rd, nobody out in a game where Zach Plesac and you were, you know, not giving up much of anything. And Lindor and Santana, who are probably, you know, 2 of the 3 better hitters. What's the approach there with you and Yasmani? And it obviously worked out perfectly.
Yeah, just going to our strengths. Our strengths tonight were the changeup and the elevated fastball. We were able to, you know, take a minute, have a mound visit, and go over our game plan for the next batter. I'm not remembering exactly when the mound visit was. But we just talked about, you know, what our next 3 pitches were going to be. And I was able to focus up and execute those pitches to get out of the jam. Got out of 2 jams, actually. So, that's credit to Yaz for putting the right fingers down there, having a good game plan that I was on the same page of, and was able to make much-needed pitches in a big situation.
Cregan, next.
Lucas, you worked almost exclusively fastball changeup all night. I think you've had success against this team doing that before. Why was that able to work without them making some adjustment to it and neutralizing it?
I think Ramirez made a nice adjustment after the first at bat. He got 2 singles after that. But for the most part, I know that when I'm throwing my changeup for a strike – and I'm throwing my heater at the top of the zone, that's what I need. That's my recipe for success. That was happening early. Yaz saw that, and that's just what we kept going back to. I think we mixed in 1 curveball tonight and a couple sliders to righties. But other than that, for me, it's all about riding that fastball top of the zone and keeping it mixed up with the changeup. So that was the game plan going in. We were able to execute it.
See, folks, all you need is a good spotted fastball and a changeup. Rossi ate my lunch on Tuesday when I was talking about Lester being low in the zone, and he was explaining, look, sometimes there are hitters that we're going to go up in the zone and challenge. The key is to go far enough up in the zone that you don't get hurt. Because if Lester leaves one of those fastballs over the plate, he's going to get hit, and he's going to get hit hard. Change up an elevated fastball. That's mostly what Lucas Giolito threw. Herbie, would you like to say some things about Column A? I believe you called him Column B-minus last night.
Yeah, I think I've been resigned to the fact that he's not going to be one of those guys that's just 1, 2, 3, and it's done. as long as I hear this at the end of the game.
One ball, no strikes. On the ground, Tim Anderson to first, and that will do it with a stretch from Jose Abreu and a lengthy bottom nine. But Robert drives in a pair of the four top nine, and the Sox take the finale to big smiles from TA.
I'm fine, because I'm not usually a results guy, but with him, the peripherals are terrible, and sometimes he makes your heart, you know, just jump up a beat. But now I'm just resigned to roll out this Alex Colome thing, however long it lasts, until he just gets the out, and then I can relax. Because, man, last night, those are good at-bats. Framil Reyes with that at-bat, just taking that slider to right field at the end on 3-2 count. Mercy. But it was like Bradley Zimmer was battling him, too. Come on, man. These are not the best of hitters. He just can't put these guys away. He doesn't have really, or at least last night, he didn't have a put-away pitch.
Look at you playing radio, talking into cuts and all sorts of stuff. If you want more Herbie on the White Sox, by the way, the Locked On Sox podcast with him and Chris Tannehill is a must. You should download it. You should subscribe to it. You should rate it. Give it 5 stars. And write a review for it because it's really, really good stuff. Herbie, you might be interested in this. Just saw this tweeted out from Scott Merkin. Chris Getz says Nick Madrigal is, quote, very close, close quote, to being ready.
Real nice. He got better in Schaumburg. Who could say that in their whole life, that you got better by going to Schaumburg? Sorry, people in Schaumburg. You know your team is terrible.
He just needed 6 days. That was all he needed to get better. But
well, folks at Rolling Meadows, those are excellent people.
Sure. The folks at Schaumburg are fine. But people don't usually go to Schaumburg to get better. They usually go to Schaumburg to go to GameWorks. Is GameWorks still around?
I think so. Or go to that mall, I guess. I don't.
Be careful with your references these days.
Do kids go to malls anymore?
I don't know. Is there a Cheesecake Factory there?
I mean, all we used to go to is Cinnabon, chill out, eat a Cinnabon, and then creep on girls that we would never talk to.
You didn't have the guts?
Oh, man. If a girl would come up to us when we're in high school and talk to us, man, wet our pants.
Well, you gotta get over that. That's what being an adult is all about. Bruce Miles is going to join us.
Remember I said that Schaumburg people are the worst?
Yes.
Shane came in here and said, I was raised in Schaumburg. My case.
You're making the point for us, Shane. Like, nobody likes you. So, you're making the point. My favorite part about this, though, is you mentioned Schaumburg, and now people are just going to start throwing out places that are worse. It's inevitable. Remember when we had that guy that we were talking to on the air, and he was talking about how he was in, where did he say he was? Well, he didn't tell us what city he was in. He told us what county he was in. And then he said that he had the nude parties, the nude swim parties. And then everyone was like, yeah, I bet that guy's in blank and blank. That's what's going to happen now. Now people are just going to be like, now Schaumburg's bad, but I tell you what's worse up there. Hoffman Estates. Like, that is now going to start happening.
You know what? Streamwood is terrible. We just name all the cities around there?
Right. We can just throw it all out. But don't worry. The texters are going to do that for us at 312-644-6767. That was an excellent Jim Rome way of doing things. You'll see. Bruce Miles joins me next here on The Score. Herbie, people are already mad on the text line. And some of them are very funny. This texter says, I called in one time and said I was from Hoffman Estates because I thought my opinion being from Rolling Meadows would be invalid. I knew this was going to happen, and this is a good thing. Then there are people taking swipes at the South Suburbs. Like, it's way better than Homewood or Matson.
An unnecessary sideswipe at Midlothian for some reason.
I mean, that's what we do. That's what we do. We do this all the time. We just start looking for someone else, and we go, no, 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 it's worse. This texter says it's called Sean Vegas. Well, naturally, it's called Sean Vegas. That's the thing. 847 texter says, in Chicago, love my town. What do we do to you? Streamwood is trash, though. See? All it takes is a minute, and people start texting in and pointing at another town. As soon as we started talking about this, I felt bad because I was like, I'm pretty sure that Bruce Miles lives somewhere around there. So we'll get his information as he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from in beautiful Melrose Park, or you can go to alpamonteford.com. Bruce Miles is a friend of the show. He covered the Cubs for forever. He's an incredible writer, and he has got a book that he has penned called The Phenom. He joins us now on The Score. Hey, Bruce.
Lovely Schomburg, Lawrence. Glad to be on.
All right, so you are at Schomburg.
Yeah.
That's why I love you, Bruce, because I know that you're always paying attention to what's going on and what's happening with the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing better than a semi-retired person ought to be doing, and I'm busier than a semi-retired person ought to be as well. I got the book, got some other things going, and just enjoying things despite, you know, being indoors most of the time.
I want to talk to you about the book because I'm really intrigued by the idea of it, and we were having a little bit of a conversation today on Facebook about it. But I want to ask you about what you've seen so far from the Cubs. Like, that's your beat for a really long time. Sure, it's only six games into a 60-game season, but what are your thoughts on baseball being back number one and whether or not it's sustainable for the Cubs to be a contender this season?
I'm just hoping it's sustainable for baseball to be baseball the rest of the way things have been going. I thought maybe they could get back by July, and they've done it. Every year, whether they play 162 games or 60 or 262, my concern is always the bullpen. I say that about every team. It's the X factor with every team, good and bad. And the bullpen that you start the season with is never the one you end it with. But this tight squeeze here, I mean, they got to go with this bullpen for a while because I don't know how much room to maneuver there is on trades and the like. But, you know, I think that they're as good as their bullpen is going to allow them to be.
Yeah, I look at that too, and I say that that's the issue for them. And the thing is that I don't know if there's a lot of help out there too. So when you look at this starting rotation, and let's assume that Quintana is going to be back and going to be healthy enough to help them, is their rotation good enough that it could mitigate some of the problems that the bullpen has?
Yeah, I think it is for the simple reason that with a 60-game season, you might not have to worry about pulling that starter, whether it be a John Lester or an Alec Mills, after five innings. You might let him be able to go six, seven, or in the case of Hendricks, eight or nine the other day. So I think the shortened season, especially for a guy like Lester, you know, who's in the final year of his contract, he's up there in age, that might be kind of a blessing in disguise because he can just let it all go now. Looked pretty good the last time out, no hits through five innings. So I think it can be simply because you might not have to go to your pen as early as you used to go.
When they brought in Kimbrel last year, the people were thinking that this was going to be kind of the final piece, that they needed a guy to close out games. Why has he not been as effective?
You know, I've heard every theory from tipping pitches to the layoff from last year. We had another one, obviously, this year. I wish I could pinpoint it. You know, the Red Sox perhaps saw something at the end of 18 where they had no interest in bringing him back, that maybe they thought that the well had run a little bit dry there. But, yeah, I think it's a big concern for the Cubs. A lot of times in these situations, though, a closer that you weren't thinking about or thought a guy you thought weren't thinking about as a closer emerges. We've seen it a few times already, and that might be what they have to go to. And I have no idea who that guy might be at this point, but that's the thing they might be faced with right now.
Bruce Miles is joining me. He covers baseball for a long time for the Daily Herald, did an incredible job doing it, occasionally still does it. He also is out here writing books. He has penned a novel with Jack Schneiderman called The Phenom. A novel? You wrote a novel?
Well, let me tell you something, Lawrence. I was sitting in the Cubs lunchroom a few years ago with Pat Hughes, the great radio announcer, and he looked at me one day and said, "Well, Bruce, have you ever written any fiction?" And I said, "Pat, every day, or at least I've been accused of doing that." So it just seemed a natural progression. But anyway, seriously, my friend Jack had this idea, and he had it for many years, of writing a baseball novel, taking a season game by game, day by day. Well, he's a big Cubs fan, and he thought it should be centered around the Cubs and maybe getting to a World Series. Well, something in 2016 happened, as I recall, and the Cubs got there. So we kind of changed it up a little bit, and it centers around the Cleveland Indians and maybe them getting to a series and a lot of other crazy things happening day by day. And it's seen through the eyes of a sports writer. So I'm kind of familiar with that milieu, having done that for a few years. But I think it's just a wonderful idea by Jack. He had the idea. I'm just the clerk typist here. But I think it's what they might say in a promotional ad, a fun romp through a baseball season, buckle your seatbelt and all that kind of stuff. But, no, it was a really fun and rewarding project, taking a season day by day, some social issues in there, and the player, the phenom, his name is Scott Michaels, making a run at some historic mark. So suspend your disbelief a little bit, have a little fun, and you know what? Maybe my alter ego is writing these stories. He's a little bit more of a smart ass than I am.
Well, you're like the nicest person on planet Earth, so I'm kind of looking forward to the smart ass version of Bruce Miles. When's the book going to be out?
The book is out now. It's available on Amazon. It's available in Barnes & Noble, their sites. I'm sure in bookstores. I haven't been to a bookstore. I don't know if anybody else is, but it's available in hardcover. It's available in paperback. It's available on Kindle. And like I said, it's a fun, breezy read. Of course, I was intimately involved in it, and others will judge it. But I really like it. I like the premise. I loved working with Jack Schneiderman, a wonderful man who resides up in the northern suburbs, treated me very well. And we had a really good time putting this together and had a few laughs along the way. And there, you know, I pay a few homages in the book, then maybe some Easter eggs in there that people will recognize.
I'm looking on Amazon. You guys are doing well because it's temporarily out of stock. Y'all are selling these books, Bruce.
Yeah, well, you know, all credit to Jack there. I'm glad people are buying it. I'm sure they will enjoy it. It's one of these books they can kind of breeze through. It's certainly not heavy literature by any stretch of the imagination when you're talking about me writing something. So, yeah, it should be a good deal. You know what? Suspend your disbelief. We're living in tough times right now, and what we wanted to do was have people, you know, have a really nice time, a really fun time reading about a baseball season, a full baseball season.
I know that when you would write your game stories or sidebars, that you had a process that you went through and you took it very seriously. When you're writing a book, what's the schedule like?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We got together last October and kind of hashed things out. And I thought, you know, I'm writing 162 game day stories here. So as a writer, you've got to be pretty disciplined. And I've always prided myself on that. So I would sit down, I would get up in the morning, work out, do my workout, come home, have a little late breakfast, early lunch, and then sit down and make sure I wrote something every single day, whether it was one chapter, two chapters, three chapters, but just to get into that rhythm. And the beautiful thing about covering baseball is it's the most rhythmic of all sports, because it's like life, because it happens every day. And so I was able to get into that kind of rhythm, and I really felt like I was in a baseball season. And, you know, in the April months in the book, I was, you know, you could feel the chill in the air and then the heat and then the run toward the stretch drive in September, October. So I really felt that I got into a rhythm, and it felt like a rhythm of a baseball season, and I hope the readers find that too.
I know that we've talked a little bit, but I don't know if we've talked a little on it, about it on air, and it's been a terrible year for a lot of reasons, but Neil Peart dying at the beginning of the year, I know that you're a huge Rush fan. What did Neil Peart and Rush mean to you?
Man, it meant everything. I tell my wife I had a relationship with Rush before I had one with her. We started going out in 1977. I went to my first Rush show in 1976. Neil not only was the greatest rock drummer in history, my opinion, but he was also a tremendous and a prolific writer, one who inspired me to become and to want to be a better writer. His lyrics are full of meaning on many, many, many subjects, great turns of phrases, and man, the drum fills. I mean, every guy with has his own pair of air drum sticks, and we'd been to maybe 25 Rush concerts, and you know, the air drum concession was always sold out.
I'm glad that you had the chance to really show how great a writer you are, Bruce. The name of the book is called The Phenom. Sometimes the game is more than a game. Order Bruce's book, support this man, because this man has been great to this particular radio show and our radio station overall. Bruce Miles, congratulations on your book, sir.
Thank you very much, Lawrence, and you got the best 2 hours in radio. I say that with all sincerity.
I appreciate that. I truly do. That is Bruce Miles. Go check out his book. Bruce is the best, man. I know that what he really wanted to do is, like, do a whole thing on Rush. And next time we have Bruce, like, we should just, you know what? I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to do a House of L episode where Bruce Miles just talks to me about Rush. And it's going to be awesome. We need to take a break. The NBA is back. Yeah, tonight they got games. There's also some breaking news on Major League Baseball. It's not good. I'll share that with you next here on The Score.
Dan McNeil here from the Mack and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score. Cubs and White Sox fans, baseball is back in Chicago, so keep it here on The Score. We will be discussing this shortened season, plus all the new rules, changes, and more on the Mack and Parkin Show. It's afternoons 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
New car dealers are open and ready for business. The latest cleaning safety procedures offer peace of mind as you shop for your next vehicle. Whether it's new or used, car or truck, you'll find it at one of 400 Chicagoland new car dealers. Begin your search today at drivechicago.com.
Well, if you've been waiting for the NBA to come back, it's going to be back tonight. And if you're someone that wants to get a little action, you already know what FanDuel does as far as fantasy goes. They also have a sports book, which is America's number one sports book. You can hold it right in your hand. You just download the app. And they have all sorts of stuff. They've got the props for tonight's game. If you want to take a look at what happens between the Jazz and the Pelicans or the Clippers and the Lakers, they've got the best odds. And they've got more ways that you can go about betting on the games. Spreads, parlays, money lines, over-unders, props, and in-game bets are all in an easy-to-use app. And unlike other sportsbook, FanDuel accepts most major payment options, which is something I like, and this is the best part. When you win, you can receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours through a safe and secure process. And if you do already have FanDuel for your fantasy account, you can marry it with your sportsbook account and then have the ability to use your winnings across both products. Check out FanDuel Sportsbook's app, FanDuel. More ways to win. Must be 21 or older. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER.
Every time you pull up to your home, you notice it. Your neighbors probably notice it too. Your paint is chipped.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!